Blog Talk Radio.
Cross Cover Radio, tying the community together.
Stadium show here on Crossover Radio.
Hello?
We on.
Hello?
Yo, P.
Yeah, yeah, Keith.
Let's do this. Keith.
Let's do it. All right, welcome everybody to the stadium show here on Crossover Radio. I'm your host, Penny, and I'm here with Keith Cloth. Keith, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, ready to get another bomb-ass show underway.
Yeah, definitely, man. How was your weekend? Did you play some games over the weekend?
Yeah, went 2-0, won a close one at the Drew League, and then went out there in the Venice Beach League and smashed the other team by 40 points.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I went ahead and had a double-double, 12 blocks. 12 rebounds. I ain't care about scoring. Had me a few assists. I just kicked back and threw everything into the water.
Yeah, I feel you. Now, let me ask you, is this still the $1 million tournament that you got going on?
No. Oh, also, man, that one. We lost that one by 2 points, man. You know, young fellas want to jack up a bunch of jumpers. We got a guy who, you know, one of our top players who decided that he didn't feel like playing and, you know, wasn't trying to compete. So, you know, we had to make an executive decision and sit his ass on the bench.
Yeah.
So, you know, the remaining games, we just really have to come in and smash everybody.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's for nothing.
Well, I want to welcome everybody that's tuned in right now to the Stadium Show with Penny and Keith Kloss. We got a real interesting show for y'all. You know, we're going to be talking finals, and we got a special guest tonight. Yeah, I said special. We got Patterson's own Shadasia Sweets Green, with the number one female boxer in the country right now. So, you know, she'll be calling in shortly for you on a Stadium Show. So, you know, that's going to be real interesting, Keith. And I was actually, I was out in Hackensack at the Night of Champions tournament hosted by James Buddy McGirt, this Saturday, man. We had some real good fighters out there as well.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, Buddy McGirt is a legend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Did you see the video that I shot to you earlier on Twitter yesterday?
No, I didn't, because my phone was down.
Yeah, man.
My phone was down. I didn't even get a chance to.
Yeah, we had, like I said, it was the best of the tri-state. You know, nice turnout. You know, shout out to Don for bringing me out there, letting me do my thing. You know, I was on the cameras and everything, and a little bit behind the scenes. Got a couple interviews. That stuff going to be going up on the Penny Pittman YouTube page, where you can also see the first round knockout that I posted that's going crazy on the internet right now. It was a kid named Abraham Nova, you know, caught a first round knockout, real dramatic. And, you know, shout out to the other kid that he fought, you know, hopefully everything was okay with him. You know, they had to carry him out, you know, it was a little dramatic. So, you know, but them kids came out and competed, man, for another weekend. Yeah, it was dramatic, man. But, you know, that's boxing, man. That's boxing.
Yeah, it is. Let's hope that other young fella's all right.
Yeah, man. But, Keith, I'm looking at this series, man, and what you see going on so far. A lot of people saying that they, you know, they so-called predicted the Cavaliers to lose in six, man. I think that, you know, we just warming up for this seven-game series to start with these last two, what I believe is going to be classic performances by the King James, man. What you think, Keith?
You know what, man? Gosh, it sucks when you don't have enough help around you, when your key players don't step up the way you expect them to. You know, and I was really expecting Shumpert, man, and JR to step up and contribute a little more, and it's becoming more and more of a struggle for King James. He can't do it by himself, and it seems like they're leaving him out there on the island to figure it out for himself. You know, Dellavedova, he's falling off a little bit, and I don't want to say it was just a bunch of hype, you know, because the kid is in the league for a reason. Obviously, he can play. Everybody's got to step up and do their part in order, you know, in order for them to reach that ultimate goal, which is to win that NBA title. You know, they can't take any nights off. This is the finals. This ain't the first round. This ain't the semis. You know, this is the finals, the beginning, the end, alpha and omega, and they got to play like it. You know, Golden State came out with a sense of urgency, man, and, you know, they showing that they're there for a reason, and now they're believing that they belong there.
Yeah.
So once the team believing that they belong in the same arena with you, it's going to be pretty tough to get them up out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I, at the end of the day, we knew that it was, it wasn't going to be a series until a home team took a loss, which was game two. So when they came back and won the Warriors and won game four, you know, I looked at it as, you know, that was one of the significant games in the series, but at the same time, that was them taking the home court back after the series got real. Now, they come home and take care of business. Well, I'm just a firm believer that Cleveland's going to come home, LeBron James especially, and in game six, take care of business, which is the setup for perfect game seven for him on a roll, which would be just the icing on the cake on what I believe will be a legacy level that hasn't been reached and probably won't be reached again, because this is a tall order. But I think he can do it. I always was a believer that if there was a one guy, like a one man army, that can carry a team to the promised land, you know, after seeing him a few years in the league and seeing him live up to his hype, I always thought it would be him.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But, you know, like I said, the other guys got to step up too. They got to step in, man, and handle their business. They're not really doing it consistently like they should be. And that's hurting.
Yeah. It's definitely a hindrance to them, man. And
At the end of the day, they are professionals. But, man, they got to know how to, you know, how to put their foot in somebody's neck and get them up out of there.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the thing about it is when you look down the line, I think that I felt like Cleveland had more players that had that type of experience of even if some of them didn't learn how to close out a series or, you know, how to attack in a series, they had the playoff experience. But on the flip side, I think that's what you see with Andre Iguodala in Golden State, with him having been through the trenches of, you know, first round losses and being on the worst team for a couple of years straight. And all of the things that he's been through, I think he's been the guy, you know, on the flip side, just like Dellavedova was for the Cavs, I think he's been the spark that's gotten them over the hump these last two games.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys are pros, man. You know, and hell, it's just providing more and more excitement.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, man. It's definitely the setup for a big game seven. I don't think that anyone has the edge right now. I think that the momentum only goes so far. This has been a close series, and when you do, you have to give the nod to the Golden State Warriors that their two wins, especially the last two wins, have been marginal. The last game, I'm going to say the margin came in garbage points. But, you know, for the series, the tone of the series still, to me, favors Cleveland. You know, like I said, the momentum shifted into Golden State's way a little bit in game four, and it carried into game five because I believe they were in it, and especially the first half. You know, they went small, and it worked. JR was on with his shot. But I think that when LeBron went out the game, I think that the strategy should have been to go back big because their points would have came from the paint, or at least the paint guy. So, you know, adjustments to be made to game six. But I'm just looking at this. This is a game where the stars come out game six because this is a closeout game for the Warriors, and this is a survival game for the Cavaliers, and I just don't see LeBron James letting it go like that, especially not at home.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. It's time to put up or shut up.
Yeah, so, you know, and like I said, I compared it at the beginning to Magic, you know, from the different array of things that he's doing. And I just believe that he's willing to, and if this is another thing when I say legacy, that's another thing that the fact that LeBron's willing to put it all on the line, where for years people would say he's held back, he's been a little passive, not been aggressive enough. I think that people need to recognize the fact that he stepped himself up mentally another level, even to
right,
the way he
right.
uses these, you know, his role players and his co-stars, if you want to say. You know, I think he stepped it up. So, like I said, I just never count him out. I just never count him out in a situation like this.
I got you. You know, but you're right. It's too early to count him out. But, well, like I said, those other guys, they really need to step up now and, you know, and do their part. Otherwise, it's for nothing. But it's all making for a very, very interesting series.
Yeah. And like I said, y'all, you know, any minute now we should be having our special guest, Shadeja Sweet Green, you know, female pro boxer, number one in the country. And she'll be calling in a few minutes, and we'll be having her as our guest. So any callers that want to call and ask any questions, don't forget to press 1 while she's on. We'll have her in a few minutes, y'all. So, you know. But
I think she's ready now.
Okay, let's bring on.
I think she's here now.
Ready? Okay, we're gonna bring on in.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Shadeja, how you doing, everybody? This is Shadeja Sweet Green. Like I said, Patterson's own female number one boxer in the country. How you doing, Shadeja?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys, you know, allowing me to call in and having me as a guest on the show tonight. You know, it's an honor, and I really appreciate it. You know, I'm humbled. I really am.
How you doing, young lady?
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
I'm all right. Welcome to the stadium.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to accomplish my dreams. That's it. I'm just chasing something, and it's in my eye view. And, you know, I'm just trying to make – I'm just trying to be great, you know?
Yes. Right. Now, Shadeja, what's the tournament you got coming up? I want to let everybody know that you'll be heading out for next month, I believe.
Yes, sir. I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, July 7th through the 11th for the national Golden Gloves for the women. And it's a special tournament because they actually inducted Layla Ali and Ann Wolf in the Hall of Fame at the same, you know, during that whole series as far as the tournament is concerned. So it's going to be pretty special.
Yeah. And I just wanted to let that be known because I actually watched some of your videos. And, you know, I sat down with Barry for a while and we watched some training videos. And what I wanted to ask you was, like, I got a couple people that I see in your style, but who would you, you know, compare yourself to if you had to?
Well, first let me say, you know, boxing is an art, you know, and I study a lot. Just like with basketball, when I used to play ball. And I study some of the great, like, in my, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, who I feel like is great. And people like Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto, Canelo Alvarez. I would like to think that my style is kind of a mixture, not to the extent of how great those guys is, because I got a long way to go, but those are some of the people that and Floyd Mayweather is my favorite, but those are some of the people that I kind of try to emulate just a little bit, and those are who I watch, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I had worded it wrong. I didn't mean who you compare yourself to, but that was basically what I meant, who did you study, because, you know, it seems like you well-rounded, you know, especially for a female boxer, you know, as far as in my history of seeing female boxing, you usually have one that either just packs a punch or, you know, you have one that was extra big or whatever, but, you know, you got the agility, the punch, the defense, everything like that. So, you know, I definitely recognize that and watching your training videos. And you had a fight recently, was it back in April, I believe?
The last fight I had, I believe it was, you know, to become number one in the world, I mean the nation, and then get on the USA team. That was back in January.
January,
okay. Yeah, I you know, defeated the girl that was in my spot, and it was very emotional, but it was definitely a proud moment. So there's some fighters out there, but now I travel with the USA team a lot to fight internationally, and then I rarely have fights back at home, but I'm thinking of definitely getting on the card at home soon when my tournament is up, to come back home and put on a show and perform it for my family and friends and for my trainer, you know?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Keith.
No, I was just saying, that's right.
Yeah.
It's always good to be able to get home and let the people see you get down.
Right, you know, that's where it started at.
Exactly. Now, how long have you been fighting?
I've been fighting for about, seriously now, commitment, for about 2 to 3 years. But I've been training in the sport while I was a basketball player. I was one of the top basketball players in my area, in the state, and went to college on a full scholarship. You know, my mom, very influential in my life, guided all of my decisions. And, you know, she made me go to college. And she said when I could, you know, when I finish and get her that degree, that I can come home and do what it is that I wanted to do. And first thing I could think about was boxing. So now it's been about three to four years now, seriously. So.
All right. You played at ODU.
Yep. Old Dominion University.
All right.
So did you ever have dreams of, like, being pro in basketball?
When I was a kid, I thought about going to the WNBA, a little bit in college, but going through, you know, my college my college career, it just became a little bit too political. I kind of lost the fun, you know. And if you don't love what you do, then it's not fun. Then you don't do it because you're only gonna give it 50%. So I finished up strong. I was a great asset to my team. I did some wonderful things in college, and now I'm doing what I love.
Okay. So, is there anything that you got coming up? Any other events besides the tournament that you want to let the people know about?
Something in November is where, it'll be my first real big international tournament to go out and fight, people with the other teams for the continent, like Canada, Mexico, and I'll be with my my team, and we'll go out and actually compete to become number one in my continent. And then that next year, I got to make the team again, of course. I'm looking forward to doing that, and then I can place number one in the world. And so that's my dream right now, is to, I take it steps at a time. I kind of write down my goals so that it's a sight, something that I can sight and see that I'm pushing towards every day, and I try to conquer it. But right now, that's the big thing is the Nationals, and that's in July and then November, I believe.
Okay. Any advice for any young females out there that, maybe in positions that want to, pursue boxing or just sports?
Of course, my trainer is an asset to my career because he stuck with me through it all. So, and he always used to tell me, you got to keep pushing. You can't say, you can't think that, there might not be a tomorrow. So work today like there is no tomorrow, and go after what you want today, because you might not be able to do it tomorrow in the world that we live in.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank you for calling into the show, Shadeja. It was really an honor and a pleasure to have you. And like I said, you can come anytime, be a guest on our show. And you want to give out your social networks for the people to follow you?
Absolutely. I'm Shadeja Green, just regular Green, Shadasia on Facebook. And the same thing on Instagram. Same exact thing. Just, search me. I follow back. I talk to people. I'm very friendly. And I just appreciate you guys having me on the show. I think it's an amazing thing that you guys are doing, and I'm honored. Honestly, I appreciate this experience. And, anytime you guys want me to come out or anything, or you guys are around, you can come out to some of the fight. It'll be a pleasure to have you, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yes, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And I definitely will be keeping in touch and bring her back after she does the tournament.
Okay.
So, like I said, everybody, that was Shadeja Sweet Green of Patterson, and she's gonna be she's gonna be fighting next month at the. Can you give it again, Shadeja?
July 6th through the 11th and Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the National
okay.
Golden Glove.
All right, and I'll be paying attention to that. So thanks a lot, and we'll be keeping in touch.
All right, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a nice night. I appreciate you guys.
All right, now, Sudar, you too.
All right.
Yeah, Keith, man, I watched some of those training videos, and she got it, man. She got it.
I'm about to check that out, man. That sounds real cool, man. That's what's
yeah.
up.
Yeah, I think the weight is 177, I believe. She ain't small neither. And like I said, the thing about it was when I met her, we didn't get a chance to speak. I was doing the event and she was attending, and when she walked past me and I seen the arms, and I knew it automatically she must have been one of the boxers. And like I said, once I found out and saw some of the videos, man, I said, all put together, especially to be, on the healthy side, the more healthy side. She got the agility to move, man. So it's gonna be interesting to see her, down the line.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to get on top of that, man, and check her out.
Yeah, man. I'll make sure, you know, I'll make sure to post some things, and you know, I'll definitely tag you up on it. You know, I always keep you up to date on this stuff. I see you put me in the Drew League loop. So now I get to follow all of the highlights with that, man.
Yeah, man, it goes down. Somebody's catching a body every weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I see they put the player of the week up there today on the Instagram page. I didn't get the guy's name, but it was some guy looked like he had a nice little stat line for the weekend, man. I'm looking to see you up there, Big Keith. Man, you said a double double with 12 and 12, man. We gotta see your snapshot up there, man. You gotta give us something, Keith. Come on, man. You gotta give us something.
You know, the way my team is set up, man, they're not going to let it happen. So, you know, I got a primarily jump shooting team. They're guard oriented, and they do what they want to do. You know, and I just, they're a bunch of young dudes. So I sit back and I let them go and hopefully allow them to, you know, pick up on it on their own.
Yeah. Well, you know, man, you said you had the double-double. What you say, 12 and 12? 12 blocks?
Yeah.
12 blocks, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I was down at Venice.
And I take that stat line, man. And speaking of, you know, big men, do you think that it was a bad decision for Cleveland to actually try to match Golden State in a small lineup?
Yeah, I do, because I definitely would have taken advantage of that size down low. You know, I would have let Mozgov have his way.
I mean, because
you got to show a little more confidence in your role players, because if you don't, then naturally the weight just goes on, you know, on your superstar. You know, and if I were to go ahead and go with a small lineup, then definitely have Sean Marion out there.
But the thing about it,
we got a caller right now, 908-205. You want to bring him in?
Bring him in. Hey, let's go. Caller, you in the stadium show with Penny and Keith Cross.
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, fellas? It's JR from North.
What's going on?
Not much, man. Hey, I just two things. I was trying to catch the young lady on and everything. I just wanted to let her know, you know what I mean, keep doing the thing and stay focused and a real inspiration, because after I talked to you, Penny, I looked at some things, you know, on YouTube about it and everything, and actually showed my daughters and everything, and they was like, wow, you know what I mean, it's just another female that's doing something that's not conventional and actually succeeding at it, you know, that kind of was like, made the girls looking like, wow, I could do that type thing, you know, so yeah,
yeah,
that was a beautiful thing right there, you know. If she's still listening, keep your head up, keep doing what you got to do. You're a role model now.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's up, though.
Yeah, and she real good people, man. I have to say, like I said, we didn't get a chance to actually, you know, have a conversation ourselves, but just, you know, watching her and her presence around the gym, and you know, all of the people's knowledge of her, she, you know, she's good people. So, you know, I know she definitely take that in stride.
Yeah, and on another note, I was going to agree. I agree with you, boss. With, you know, pertaining to the finals, where, you know, I would insert Sean Marion in this game, you know, some way somehow, because if he ain't hurt, he should be playing, you know. And you know, they could go even smaller where they could put LeBron at the center and put Sean Marion in the game and keep up with these boys, but. You know, I don't know what's going on with that, because he seemed like he just there, just riding the bench, just to, I don't know.
right. He's just a seat filler right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he's, you know,
taking advantage. They're not really taking advantage of his talent.
Yeah. And I mean, that could come with, you know, David Black being, you know, from overseas and that type of, in that aspect or whatever it is, but, you know, as an NBA coach by now, he should know all his personnel.
Right.
Know?
And then, you know, another thing is maybe there's something that Sean's showing him in practice that Blatt's not really feeling.
Yeah.
You know, that would cause him, you know, to shy away from him like that.
Well, let me just say one thing to that. I think that it's an offensive thing because, yeah, Sean Marion, you know, if you put him out there, Sean Marion's going to play. He's, one thing you know he's going to do is he's going to give you the effort. But, you know, along the lines of Keith saying, maybe it's something he's showing in practice, maybe strategically, too, the minutes aren't there. And what I mean by that is they have to go – I think the subs had to come in with an offense is that. That's why they only going seven deep. You know, Sean Marion is a swing forward that's going to hustle, make you a couple plays. But I think that they're looking at his minutes. I mean, J.R., man, you talked about this a couple times. You know, I think this is where the analytics come in, and they look at those numbers and see what his production is in those numbers. And if it doesn't add up to putting points on the board, then I think that's where they cut it short. And you can tell by the players that have been playing, because I do agree with everybody that said that Mozgov should have been playing more in that game, especially after a career day the game before.
Well, you know, my thing about with the Mozgov thing is he's not that, you know, if you look at that game and everything, he wasn't getting those points by, you know, you dumping the ball down to him and he dominating the player he was against. A lot of it was, you know, LeBron penetrating or off an offensive rebound, things like that. He was dominating in that aspect. But to leave him in the game and try to run the offense through him to, you know, get him more touches and everything, he doesn't have that great of an offensive game that he's going to dominate that smaller guys like that. He has the height advantage and everything, but the offensive game is not as polished as you want it to be, you know, a primary offensive contributor. You know, Sean Marion – if you put him in the game, he kind of takes the spot of Tristan Thompson, where you don't ask for points from him. He gets his points off of garbage. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, Sean Marion is like a Swiss Army knife. He does a little bit of everything. And then, you know, that helps with the perimeter defense as well, because now you don't have the liability of switching, you know, Curry out there on Thompson now. You know what I mean? And they were eating that up. You know, once Curry figured it out, it's like, you know, I'm not going to keep swinging all the way around the pick. Once they switch off, I'll back up. So it's just me and Tristan out here. Give him a couple moves, I'll shoot over him or go past him. He was figuring that out. But if you have a Sean Marion in the game when you switch it, it's a different switch now. You don't have to really, you know, double team and get the ball off. Sean can stay in front of him, at least challenge the shot better. You know?
Right. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate your input, as always. We got another caller. Appreciate it, bro.
All right,
Jay.
We got another caller, 862. Want to bring him in?
Welcome to the stadium show.
Caller, you there?
Did we lose him, Keith? We might have lost him.
862, caller, you there? You hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, here we go.
Oh, hi, y'all. Hey, what's going on, brothers?
What's up,
Qua? Yes, Qua from the bricks. Qua from the bricks.
All right, you ain't here with Boss and Penny.
All right. So, you know, I just want to get my take on the finals, what I think so far. And, you know, I still got Warriors 4-2. I think from what I'm seeing, I think it just come down to endurance. To be honest with y'all, I just see mostly endurance. It comes all the way down to, if you notice, third, early fourth is when you start to kind of see like a distance thing. When it's more of like bodies than actual true talent, in my opinion. Like, I don't get me wrong, Golden State is the better team or whatever. But I think as far as like, I guess because they're a little bit more, I mean, they're like not experienced. As, let's say, just LeBron himself or whatever, you can kind of see that talent is not truly the true problem. I just think it's just the endurance. Like, a lot, even with Dellavedova, right, I don't think Dellavedova is doing some incredible job, but he's doing good. He's doing what a defender's supposed to do, right, against Steph Curry.
Right.
But then what always happens is he just gets tired. He just gets so tired that it's just like, I can't do this for – four quarters. You get what I'm saying? Like, I need another person to take over. You want me to bring the ball up? Because we can't have LeBron bring the ball up all the time. But at the same time, then I got to defend and chase Curry through screens, slash, you know, stop him dribbling, you know, his dribble drive screens. You know what I mean? I just think endurance is the biggest factor. They just don't have the body. And I think far as, like, if you're talking about Sean Marion come in and James Jones and Mike Miller, they just – their conditioning ain't well either. They just give me a sense of people that are not conditioned. That's why James Jones can't play as long as he can and Mike Miller can't. So I just think it's just an endurance thing more than anything. I think it's endurance. They just don't have the bodies that to come in at all.
Right. You know, one of the best things to do with athletes, man, is when they come in and they don't have the endurance is to throw them out there and let it catch up to them. Let them run themselves into the proper shape. You know, that way they're not out there hindering their team and they can be more of a help. So, I mean, that's the best way I would do it. Let them run themselves into shape. Let them get out there. Let them, you know, it'll give them rest, you know, as well. It'll give them other looks offensively and defensively, you know.
Well, Keith, let me tell you, they're fresh bodies, first of all. Let's not forget. If any of them was able to come in and bring a real spark, I think that's where you would see them play actual minutes that would give them a chance to get tired. I think the reason that they're not going that deep into the rotation with these guys or they're not playing, which will cost significant minutes, is because it goes against the theory of what it would take for them to win. To put those guys in to go totally small would mean that they was going to play at Golden State pace. Now, they don't have the bodies for that because they don't have the score set. They don't have the the offensive build for that. So it has to be a defensive game. And the top seven is just what they go with. That's the top. You know, I think it's a thing of they went with their best players, period.
Because at the same time, they don't want to lose their identity to Golden State because then they know they're playing with the Golden State hands.
Well, they
you know
tried.
What I mean?
They tried that game. They tried that game four, if I'm not mistaken, and they wore them down. They tried to come out play at Golden State tempo. You know, they was a little hyped up. And in the first quarter, it was, you know, everybody was explosive. But by the time it was time for first sub, you had Della Vadova for a sub in the first quarter. You know, and at the same time, it's not that his job is so complex because they're not really looking for offense for him. It will help. He is a pro. Even to chase a guy like that, because you notice they took Stephen Curry off the ball once Della Vadova start playing this type of defense on him. So now he got to wear him out. He's running him around screens. Reggie Miller style. So he was going to wear down eventually anyway, especially if he was the only one. You know, Kwai, we talked about this, and I said the thing was is Della Vadova was the only one to play that type of defense. When they put JR on, he always finds himself with a backdoor screen or some type of, you know, some type of boneheaded play is being made. But
boneheaded foul.
Yeah, it's almost like a boxing one. He was shadowing him full court, but they took him off of the ball. But when you don't have at least one guy who can step up and give him a good 3 to 4 minutes and keep up that type of intensity, because their game plan on offense is working to me. It's working because I believe that it's an efficiency thing. As long as you got LeBron James controlling, you know, the tempo and running the plays, running the offense through him, most of their shots end up in the paint. I believe that their number of three is another hindrance to them of trying to play to Golden State's tempo. You know, but I think it's a matchup thing. I don't think that, you know, it's so much as him contemplating over putting those guys in. I think it's a matchup thing, and you know, once they change their identity, you know, like you said, Kwai, so you want to run up and down the court with these guys, then you have to put up those points.
Yep. At some point. So I just think, you know, the endurance of like them just not having the proper bodies, because let's be honest, Della Dova is the only point guard on the team. You know what I mean? Shumpert, he was pissing me off, honestly, this last game. He was getting rid of the ball like it had a virus or something. Like something was wrong. Like it was diseased. Like he, especially like this one play, I don't know if y'all remember, LeBron threw an outlet to him. He could have just, of course, took it to the hole strong, and he was going to get fouled. It was going to be obvious because he was, you know, it was a couple of Golden State Warriors trailing him. But instead, he dumps it off to Tristan Thompson to get fouled, and Tristan Thompson goes 1 for 2 on from the line. Like, why are you running from the ball? Like, we need you at the line. We need some points from you. We need some aggression. So, it's
right.
like, you know, since they don't have that, you know what I mean, coupled with just the endurance of, like, just not having the proper bodies to keep up with the Warriors, it's just wearing them down. It always happened in the fourth quarter. That five-minute mark come, it just be like, oh, man, LeBron, what you could do? LeBron has got that look, man. I'm rebound, coaching, assisting. Like, I don't know how much more. I need another person to be aggressive.
Right. Well, thanks for calling in. We got another caller.
All right, man, no problem.
All right, appreciate you, bro.
Later.
All right, 732-221. 732-221.
What's
call
up, brother?
There.
Y'all can hear me?
What's up?
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a faithful listener. Omar from North.
What's
I just want to elaborate on the finals matchup. You know, from what I'm seeing, it starts at coaching. I think Cleveland's head coach, I can't remember his name, he's being out-coached. And not because Steve Kerr is the better coach, but Steve Kerr's got the better weapons to work with. You know, he has more to do. He has a deeper bench to work with. When it comes down to it, to me, it's like Cleveland actually is overachieving with the roster they have. And it's like everybody's turning. They're looking at LeBron James, and they like, look, lead us to this ring. But he can't do it by himself. When it comes down to it, like Golden State, and this is my argument before the finals started, is that I thought Cleveland would win because I felt they was the tougher team. But Golden State is matching that toughness in the last few games. So now that just negated, you know, everything that I believed of why Cleveland was going to win. So now it comes down to, okay, how much can the Cavaliers roster produce? And honestly, they're producing as much as they're capable of because you have too many first-year players. Even though Golden State have a lot of first-year players in the championship, they got a coach that played in that game. And that goes a long way as far as, you know what I'm saying, I'm concerned. When you have a coach that actually played in that game and he can get down to your level and talk to you as a player, that goes a long way because now he can match your mental. Golden State was down 2-1. Cleveland came in and they basically stole the game from Golden State. You know, Steve Kerr, he could tell them, look, I done played with the greatest. He done played with Mike 3 years in a row. So I'm pretty sure he done put something in the air and he done told him something. Now the Golden State is playing on a higher level. You know, everybody want to talk about, you know, LeBron James this and LeBron James that. He's outmatched just like he was outmatched in the series when he first got to the finals against the Spurs when they got swept. It's not really too much he can do as far as what he's doing already. When it comes down to it, if those other players don't settle in to the finals atmosphere and do what they do, Cleveland's going to lose.
That's real talk. They got to, you know, and that's what I said at the top of the show, you know, everybody's going to, they got to settle in, they got to play their role, they got to do their thing, they got to contribute. Otherwise, it's going to be a wrap.
Exactly. And see, the not to start the whole Michael Jordan and LeBron James comparison, but the thing is with Jordan is that his journey to the finals wasn't as easy or as lenient as LeBron James' journey to the finals. So when Jordan finally got there, he looked at his players like, look, I'm here to win this shit. You're going to do what the fuck you're going to do, and we're going to win this series. You don't want to play, sit down. LeBron James, to me, his attitude is more like, all right, guys, yeah, we're going to go out here, we're going to do our best, we're going to give our best effort, and, you know, I'm going to try to lead us to this final. Michael Jordan was hard on his players. He was hard on his players. Look, if you ain't doing your job, don't talk to me.
Right, right.
Everybody, remember, everybody went to Pippen for advice. Everybody went to Pippen for, you know, that leadership off the court.
Right.
Jordan was like, yo, look, because, you know, he always held himself to a high level. That's, you know, where that's what LeBron James is lacking when it comes down to the team that he has is that he could bring it out of him. I mean, he could bring it out of the other players, but he's not doing it. So, you know, if you're my best player, and, you know, boss fight, you know, you play in the NBA and you've been in the locker room and you see it. If you lack that leadership that where, okay, I didn't do my job tonight, I got to walk in this locker room and face this guy.
Yeah.
I can just walk in and change my clothes, and he pat me on the back and say, we'll get him tomorrow, and I can go home. You know what I'm saying? And I can sleep versus I'm walking in this locker room, and the first face I got to see is this dude because he done laid it all. He done laid it on the line. And he like, yo, like who's going on out there? You better than that.
Right,
and I expect more from you. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference. And that's what Cleveland is lacking in LeBron James as a true leader, is that he's not holding his players accountable. And we're not talking about, you know what I'm saying, the whole post-game interviews where he calling out players. I don't even think he's doing it in the locker room, if you ask me.
Well, we don't know because we ain't there. We can't say.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, if you ask my true opinion, I know it's pure speculation, but if you ask me, he's not doing that in the locker room, and that's the difference.
Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for your input, man. We greatly appreciate it, bro.
Nah, you know, I'm a loyal supporter of the show. You know, everybody tune in tomorrow, Tasty Tuesday, because we got a good one tomorrow.
No doubt.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate
have a good night.
It, man. All right. You too, bro.
All right.
We got 973-460. Oh, they hung up. Oh, man.
Hey, Keith, I wanted to ask you, man, what do you think about this, you know, you got a lot of people running around with this soundbite of LeBron saying, you know, he's confident about the next game because he's the best player in the world. Now, before you answer that, Keith, he's the last person to say this. So I don't understand what the big mix-up is about or why everybody is, you know, is burning at their chest. But did you see anything extra into that besides him just proclaiming his own right?
No, I didn't see anything extra to it. He just said what everybody knows right now. As of right now in this game, you know, with the teams who are competing, he's the number one person. He's the number one player in the league. You know, we all know it. And he's just reaffirming it. Like, yeah, okay, y'all saying it now. Y'all can hear me say it yourselves. You know, yes, I am that dude. I am the number one player.
Yeah, exactly, and I believe it's real simple because, first of all, let's say that he is the best player in the NBA. It's been confirmed. You know, all the greats to tell you, and all the NBA to tell you, and the NBA is players in the world. Are the best player in the world, excuse me. I mean, they prove it on many different levels on their way to the league. So I don't understand when he decided to proclaim it himself. You know, and this is the social media age, day and age where, you know, things get out so fast and everything gets out and things are quick to be twisted. So I always, you know, I'm one to always pay a little extra attention and say, you know, people really, it's another thing for people to attack him on. But I believe that he doesn't even really, I don't think he even cares at this point.
Right. Right, right. Oh, man. All right. We went ahead. We had an extra caller, but we lost him. Apparently, we left him hanging for too long.
Yeah, I thought we had him back. I thought we had him back. But it's okay,
yeah,
man. But, Keith.
Hey, callers that called in and we happen to lose y'all. Hey, we apologize for the delay.
Yeah, man. This basketball is winding down, man. And, you know, I think people is really just emotional. You know, some people are. We got a lot of people that this is their first finals. You got a lot of kids that are watching it for the first time. You know, I see a lot of women posting, you know, about the games and who they're going for and who they like, so on and so forth. So this is good for the game itself. You know, I think this is a good thing for the game. I like the matchup. You know, I think that it, you know, it's lived up to its hype. You know, I gave it a short comparison on the Magic Bird between Stephen Curry and Magic Johnson, and I would say that, you know, for Shays, they're both playing their part. You know, Steph, man, he definitely stepped up these last two games, and definitely this game, Game 5, was his signature game for the series, man. I think this was a game where he put his signature on it, and he wasn't going to be denied, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I agree with you, man.
For MVP, I think sometimes, you know, especially during, you know, when you hold that title, I think that you not only owe it to the league and the people who voted you MVP, but you owe it to your team at some point in time to give them that type of performance to, you know, to let them know that they was right in selecting you as the MVP.
Yeah.
You know, but I think another thing that's going to be big going into as this series wind down is the role players. And it's crazy, but right now, when I talk about Golden State, I have to talk about Klay Thompson as a role player because he hasn't showed up yet this series, Keith. And I would say that that's a good thing for Cleveland, but at the same time, it's not so good because they're down 3-2.
Yeah, man, it's about to be a wrap if these cats don't get it together.
Yeah, so, I like I said, like these role players are going to be real important going down the stretch. And Iguodala, I mean, could you see LeBron still pulling off an MVP in a losing performance?
It's possible. I believe the last person who did that was Jerry West. But, you know, it's possible.
Well, let me ask you this, Keith. First of all, do you consider this to be an MVP performance? A lot of people will say, you know, the amount of shots, and some people still saying that, well, he's still losing, and a lot of different, you know, different opinions about it. But would you call this an MVP type performance? I mean, over any other player in the series?
Right now, yeah. Yeah, it is, because nobody else is putting up the kind of numbers that this dude is putting up. You know, and right now it's a one-man show in Cleveland for the most part.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that one. I think by now just about everybody recognizes how good this dude is and that they need to appreciate greatness while they're witnessing it. You know, me, myself personally, and I know you can do it even one more further personally. I think that, you know, us that got to witness the Michael Jordan era, I think that that was special. We've seen the game change, you know, the whole power of the game change from a league that was dominated by Big Ben to a guard dominating.
Right.
You know, and now to see the changing of the guard once again where we get to see a total different type of athlete come into the game. And I think that's what, you know, that's his, you know, that's going to be his legacy. That's going to be his place. That's going to be his greatness. Wherever he ends up in the top five greatest ever, it'll be because of those reasons. And, you know, so I think people need to, you know, kind of stop being so hung up on how many rings the guy might have or where he's at on the scoring list or, you know, his percentage in the championship versus other players or any of those other things and recognize what's actually going on in front of you. Because to be able to keep this up at this pace, just that alone, and to keep them in the series where they're so heavily outmatched is incredible. I mean, Keith, you played on his level, man. That's no easy task. And he's pulling all of 46 minutes a game.
Yeah, man. This kid's a beast, man. You know, we haven't seen that like that in a while. Well, I mean, every couple years we do. Every couple years we do. But, I mean, right now, this dude's setting a whole new tone. He's rewriting the standard right now for excellence in the finals. And, you know, and what's it going to be like? You know, who's going to be next? That's the real question that we got to ask. Who's going to be next after LeBron to do something like that? Because I believe at one point, you know, if we had a healthy Kevin Durant, it could have been KD. You know, and just imagine the dynamics of the of the series if it was a healthy Kevin Durant playing and, you know, Oklahoma City had made it in, you know, along with Russell Westbrook. You know, would he still be as dominant as he is right now? I mean, how would Oklahoma City have made, you know, proper, you know, how would they have adjusted to him? You know, you got Durant, who's a longer body. You have Serge Ibaka, who's a longer body. He's got that, you know, amazing wingspan, and he's a defensive big man, and he can also go ahead and score a few. You know, he's a face-up big man as well. Think if those other healthy bodies had been there, what it could have been like.
Oh yeah,
but
well,
they not. So this is what we have. And Golden State doesn't have anybody to contend with him.
Yeah,
they thought it was going to be Draymond Green, and Draymond can't do anything with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's making Draymond eat every one of those words that he tweeted out, that he's been tweeting over the years. You know, they've been going back to the archives and pulling up everything Draymond's been tweeting about him. And he's eating everything. He's force-feeding everything to Draymond right now.
Well, Q, we got to give him credit, too. Draymond has responded these last two games. You know, he has responded for, and what I mean is for his poor performances. You know, he's still, like LeBron's still doing whatever he want to do, you know, with any of those dudes. But to have such bad shooting games and let's say to not play up to the standard that we had him for this season, he definitely responded the last two games. You know, he was in foul trouble last night, but I mean, as far as his play, as far as his getting out there, rebounding, making the tough plays, I mean, I can recall at least three times where he drove to the basket, no matter what, whether he got fouled or not, just to draw the foul and to get to the free throw line for them. So, you know, he's a tone-setting guy for them, and I think that he got back to that last night, definitely, in the game before. So, you know, he responded. And I know what you, but I know what you mean about that, though, Keith. But I just want to give him the credit that he did respond to that, because I always said that that was the key, and I felt like LeBron would take him out of the game and eventually out of the series. But like I say, you know, he picked it up on the offensive end, you know, for now at least. But I think that LeBron will, you know, I think he got one more push in him. Basically, that's what I'm saying. Nothing special, but I think he got one more push in him. And it's definitely going to be shown in Game 6, you know. So, you know, I'm telling you that I'm predicting the Game 7, and you get to Game 7. I think we know my prediction where it lies at, because like I said, I can't go against one game. If I had one game, and if I had to put it on my MVP for this year, or my best player in the series, I'm going to take the best player. I'm going to take the best player. You know, like I said, he showed up the last game into an MVP level, but that was only the last game and a half.
Right.
I think we're about to be winding down in a second, Keith, man. Like, you know, like I said, another good one, another good week. You know, I enjoy having our guests on tonight. You know, I want to wish her all the best of luck and, you know, all the blessings for calling in and supporting the show. Thank the rest of our callers that called in tonight and weighed in on our topics, man. You got anything going on this weekend, Keith?
Hey, man, back at the beach, back at the $1 million tournament, back at the Drew. So,
okay.
You know, at that tournament, man, we gotta step it up. You know, we can't have guys quitting and being lazy. You know, if they quit, then fine. We don't need them.
Hey, I hear you, man. That's words that's spoken from a true baller, man. You got to keep us posted with this China thing, man. You know, we might be missing you for a while, man. Got to keep us posted and let us know, you know, if everything goes through, man. We, like I said, you know, hopefully I don't have to, you know, do a show without you, man. But, you know, if we have to, it's going to be next man up, just like back in the days in the league, man.
That's right. Yo, hey, also, tomorrow, Tasty Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, and then we got Freaky Fridays as well on Friday. Soulful Sundays on Sunday. Everything coming in for y'all from Crossover Radio. We got an awesome lineup for y'all, so, you know, make sure y'all tune in throughout the week and support our other shows as well.
All right, man. I think that's about wraps it up, Keith. And, you know, I'll let you go first with the socials, man, if you want to, you know, give out your socials real quick.
Yeah, you can reach me on the Real Boss Class fan page on Facebook, The Real Boss 33 on Instagram, Boss Class 33 on Twitter, and you can also reach me on Facebook at our page, The Stadium Crossover Show.
Yeah, man, and I'm Penny Pittman on Facebook, Penny1077, that's the number 7, on Instagram, and it's Penny365 on Twitter. And like I said, you can catch sports videos and highlights from the events that I do on my Penny Pittman YouTube page. Please subscribe if you go up there and check out any of my videos. And like I said, right now, I got the big trending video up there, a knockout of Abraham Noble, who is number 1 in the 141 weight class. So, you know, y'all guys be on the lookout for him. We may have him up here, you know, in the near future. So, Keith, I think that's about a wrap, man. So, you, like I said, man, love and peace, man. It was a good one and good doing it with you again.
Yeah, man. I gotta check up on our girl, man, to see how she's doing in that ring.
Definitely, man. You know, I keep you posted, man. You just keep me posted on what's going on out there, and we're going to be up out of here. Y'all be safe.
All right, no doubt.
All right.
All right, peace.
Peace.